to in Dallas. We're so glad that you've come to worship with us today. Before we get started, why don't we go around and greet each other?
Praise the man.
talking about us loving the Lord. And the verse he used was when the Lord asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And three times Peter answered, "Yes, Lord, I do love you." But the first time the Lord said, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" Because he was fishing and he got 153 fish. And apparently back in that day, that's a lot, like a bunch of money that you can get for that. So for the next song we're singing, it's called "I Give You My Heart." And Reuben Morgan said he wrote it because he got into a really bad car accident. And it taught him, you know, we have to live our life for the Lord. And he was wondering, what if I did die? Like, did I do everything that I needed to for the Lord? So he used the verse, Psalm 86, verse 11 to 13. It says, "Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may live according to your truth. Grant me purity of heart so that I may honor you. With all my heart, I will praise you, O Lord my God. I will give glory to your name forever, for your love for me is very great. You have rescued me from the depths of death." As we sing this next song, we should think, do we love the Lord more than these? And we have to think of, what are the these in our life? also says that in our weakness, he's our strength. He says, my health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Thank you.
Yes, Lord.
You are our shield. You are our strong tower, O God. To you we run because you are our God. And that is what we want to do today, Lord God. To truly worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we just thank you for you have saved us. You have saved us from sin. Lord God, you sent your Son to die for us. And what is man to do but to acknowledge the fact, Lord, that apart from you, we are doomed. But Father, your Son gave his life on the cross as our salvation, that all men shall have eternal life, to those who believe in his name, to those who call on his name, he has given life eternal. And Father, we are here to worship you for that very purpose. You have called us and you have created us for that very purpose, to worship you, to give you praise. And let me just ask the praise and worship team to let us sing that song again. And let us sing that song coming from our hearts. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Good morning, Windalas. How are you today? Amen. Praise God. Thank you for coming. And before we proceed, I just would like to share with you something. While driving home from work yesterday, I heard on the radio about It's a kids radio, by the way. And no, that was accidental. When I turned on the radio, it was an accident. And there's this guy sharing about a story about this kid who the mother was trying to tell her to be prepared to go to church. And this daughter, she refuses to budge. She refuses to get dressed and get ready. And the mother was telling her, you know, we need to do this. We need to come and worship the Lord because of what he has done on the cross. And then the daughter was saying, but I don't have any more time to do my stuff. You know, she was like complaining, like probably most of us are. And sometimes we do think that way. Right, when we have probably a function to go to or a meeting, and we just put God aside and tell God, you know what, God, maybe next Sunday I'll just attend church because right now this is the only day that I have the time to do this. Right? So especially if you have a project in the house, like me, I have multiple projects. And I don't know, I haven't done anything yet. But here's the thing. So the youngest daughter came into the room and she was showing her older sister and her mom the gift that she has for her grandmother. And the mother said, the eldest daughter says, how come you still have the tag price on your gift? And the daughter says, I want my grandmother to know how expensive is my gift for her so that she would treasure it and she would love me more. And so the older sister says, you're silly. You know, you have to take it off because it's not appropriate and stuff like that. But the younger sister doesn't know anything. So she says, no, I'll keep it on, you know. And when she left the door, the room, the older sister said to her mom, if only she knows how much money grandma spends on her every day when they go out, when we go out, right? And then the mom says, she was looking at the eldest daughter, and the daughter was asking, how come you're smiling and looking at me like that? And the mom says, here's the thing also. If only we know, if only you know how much God, what God did for you, then you wouldn't always place a price tag on what you're doing for God. And, you know, that really struck me because, and let me just pass our basket for today. Thank you, Pastor Lucian. Because sometimes, most of the time, we see those things as very normal for little kids, right? I once received a homemade card from my daughter one time, and she put a tag price in the back. Like, she just made it up, you know. I guess Alexa was just 4. And I just laughed at it. And then I said, how come, why did you put it there? Because she says, that's what the cards are. You know, when she looked in the back, there was more like a tag price, right? So that's what she did. And it happens because of our, innocence. But we, as Christians, know better with regards to our relationship with God. And once we have grasped how much God did for us, especially what He did on the cross, then I'm pretty sure we would do much more than what we think we are doing right now. Amen. So what is the relationship between this and the tithes and offering that we are doing today? First and foremost, let me share with you what happened to one of our pastors in Wynn, California, Pastor Jess Twonky. They have 2 kids. He is a full-time pastor, and he is pioneering a church in one of the suburbs in California, and that church is just pretty much starting and not enough to really support him. His wife is the breadwinner, and she attended our church probably a few years ago when we were at the Holiday Inn. And last week, she was diagnosed with leukemia. And she passed away the other day. And World International Ministries, the national office, has requested all the churches in North America to support this Pastor Jess Twonky, considering that the breadwinner has passed away. And she was like, it's a young couple. They're like in the 30s and 40s. I know for you kids, oh, that's old, but I don't want to tell you my age, so I don't want you to look at me like a grandfather. But anyway, it's really sad, you know, to see someone as young as Sister Carol to pass away and leaving her 2 kids. So I would like to encourage you, just like what the churches are doing, to support Pastor Jess Twankey while he is looking for a job to support his kids. And I would like to take this opportunity also to dig into your hearts, that whatever the Holy Spirit has guided you to make an offering, a love gift for our dear pastor. And we would appreciate that very much. We would. And so with regards to that also, that's the reason why I shared that story, because it struck me as well that sometimes we sometimes complain to God, because one thing that also came into my mind is a friend of mine who was asking me, she's a Christian from work, and she asked me if our church believes in tithing. And I says, yes, we do believe in tithing. And she says, why do you believe in tithing? And stuff like that. And I was thinking, how can a church move, you know, to further the name of God, to share the gospel and stuff like that? How can we afford this if we don't have any tithes and offering? How can we celebrate his good name last Christmas time when we had that very wonderful Christmas celebration, if not for the generosity of this church? So we all thank you for your effort in helping out this church, and we praise God for that. This is all not about us. This is for his glory. Amen. So let us just pray for our tithes and offering. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for all the blessings you have given us, oh God. We know, Lord God, that our times we, Lord, think of the many things we have done, and yet we forget, Lord God, the major thing you have done on the cross for us. When we look at our lives before and we look at our lives now, how much we have changed, it is not because of us, Lord. I couldn't even imagine myself standing here before you. But Father, you have changed us as your Holy Spirit enters into our heart when we receive you as Lord and Savior. You just turn us around and chiseling our body to pieces. Just like what the video we saw last week and our small group saw last night. Lord, you have taken out those things, Lord God, that limit us. Father, we know it is painful. We know, Lord God, that involves a lot of suffering, a lot of time. But Father, we also know that your thoughts are not our thoughts. Your mind is not ours. And Lord, we know, God, that all of these things you do for us because you know what the future brings. And we know, oh God, that it is all for the good of us. Father, we just thank you for all the things you have done in our lives, continually molding us and continually guiding us into your will, into your path. And we just thank you even for the blessings that we have, oh God, that you have poured out your blessings upon us, our careers, Lord God, our jobs, everything, our kids, our family, even the house we live in, the car we drive, they all come from you, Lord. And we just thank you for everything that you have done on the cross. We give you back all the praise and the glory. Father, this is our prayer in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.
But I'm going to have a battle today, huh? Shekinah, I love you, no matter what. thank you, Ed. Before we get started, I'm going to step up here. Before we get started, there's a passage that Rebecca said, and I just want to kind of reiterate it. So if you could tone me down a little bit, I could probably outshout her. I want to start with that premise because we've already started talking about all of this and the giving and giving. But actually, Peter was asked, and this was the sermon that was given, and I just want to highlight it, that when he had given and Peter was asked, "King, do you love me more than these?" And the Lord's, and he says, "You know I love you." And Jesus responds, "Feed my lambs." He did this three times. Finally, he says at the third time, "Lord, you know I love you." There's nothing. Everything. You know everything. Even what's in my heart, you know everything. And so he correlated this to the time when they were out in the boat. And in that boat, if you recall, that they were fishing. And in there they were fishing, the Lord told them, throw the net on the other side. And out of obedience, they did. And if you recall the story, what happened was that they captured a lot of fish. In fact, this was what the point of that pastor was saying. He goes, John was so meticulously detailed-oriented that he wanted to make sure how many fishes were there. Can you imagine in the book of John, it said 153 fish. Can you imagine those guys taking the time and trying to count it? But John did. But the point of that statement was this, that 153 fish was like as if you had captured a jackpot, like a lot of money. It's almost to the point where, I don't know if some of you guys have done this. I have, so I want to be honest with you. I went to the lotto. And I only go to the lotto when I tell my wife jokingly, I'll say, when it's hit the triple digits, okay, I'll put a dollar in and see what happens. And if we're happy, yes, yes. But the point is if the Lord says, you go in and you win this jackpot of whatever the dollar amount, let's say it's $100 million, and you're standing there with this check, and as you were standing, hello, when you're standing there with this check of $100 million, the Lord jumps in front of you and says this word. Do you love me more than these? You hear that? You got this $100 million check in front of you, and you're seeing it, and the Lord jumps to the side and says, do you love me more than these? And the question really is, it encapsulates where we are as people. Is there something that is more valuable than a relationship with God? And then let me just close it up with this statement and to just kind of close that analogy. I remember the story of a man, a rich man and a poor man. And this rich man had a beautiful life, eating, enjoying life, and the poor man was what? Begging for food, that the drops from the table, and he would eat the scraps from the table. And that the evening leveling playing field was death. Both of them died. It leveled it all up. One went to heaven in Abraham's bosom, and the other one went to hell. And the story unfolds that when the guy in hell, which was the rich man, he was looking up in heaven, and I don't know if they could really see it, but they had this conversation, and he was asking God, he says, God, can you ask that poor guy to dip the tip of his finger and drop some water into my tongue? How many of you guys heard that story before? And as he dropped the tongue, I mean, he was asking, not drop the tongue, but he was asking to drop that water because why? He was in torment. And so the story unfolded and ended this way that says, look it, I don't want my brothers to go through this torment. Can you possibly ask somebody or somebody from the earth to get out from the grave and go to tell my brothers about this miserable place? And what did they respond? He goes, even if I were to bring the dead and have them tell them, they still would not believe. See, what is the value? There's going to be that evening playing field one day, and it's called death. Death will even out everything. I don't care if you're rich, poor, smart, not so smart. You're a politician, great impact in life and everything, and not one with lowly people, nobody's ever heard of you. Death evens everything out. And then eventually, you have to meet your maker. And so the question comes down to, it's a subtle kind of way of introducing where I want to go, because it's going to be short and to the point where I'm going to talk about. But it evens it all out. You will have to face one day the same thing that the rich man had to face, the poor man had to face. You will one day face him. It's called judgment. We will stand before our God. So the story, and now I'm going to flip to the message. I was really struggling with what I wanted to share because I wasn't sure where we are as a body. But I'm going to share what the Lord has told me. And I'm hoping that what He's told me, and I'm not talking about verbally. He isn't coming down and come, hey, Lucian, how you doing? Hey, man, how you doing? No, he didn't really do that. What he did was the Holy Spirit is speaking to me about exactly the last 2 weeks. And unfortunately, some of you guys weren't here, so I'm going to give a brief synopsis of what I talked about. The very first January, I talked about Zacharias and a lady named Elizabeth. And they had a problem. I'm going to see if I could pick some of our congregation who was here. Do you know what the problem was? What was that, Emily? They were barren. In other words, is that they didn't have children. In that time, when they had no children, it was frowned upon in society that you might have been cursed or you're carrying a curse. So what happened? Zechariah, Elizabeth, they knew they didn't have a baby. And here what happens is they had been praying for a baby. And all of a sudden, he gets into his normal priestly duties, suddenly an angel came and he told them this miraculous thing is going to happen and you're going to have a baby. Your prayer has been answered. Wow. There's so many of us here. And I've been talking to some of us, especially I love our young people. I just want to let you know. I feel like I relate to them much better for some reason, maybe because they speak English to me better. Except Korean. and maybe I understand them better because I've gone through grade school here and all the way through, and I know the kind of issues that they've gone through. But then there's this one individual that was sharing to me that says, they were saying, I can't see how God is working. And here's how he specifically said, in my family. Have you ever asked that question? Lord, I've been praying for this thing to happen and nothing is happening. In fact, Dr. Dobson, I don't know if you know this individual, very, very famous psychologist that really talks about families. He's gotten a lot of impact on people's families. And you know what he said about his grandfather? His grandfather was a man's man. Man, I'm tough. Man, I'm tough, man. I'm not going to go to that church. I don't need Jesus. He's that kind of guy. And as he was saying this, the mother in silence was just praying for that. This is Dr. Dobson's grandfather, not father, grandfather. And as he was doing this, sharing 40 years later, you'd hear that. 40 years later, Ladies, I don't even know if you can wait for your guy to go pick up that shirt and bring it into that laundry and wash that right now. You look at the guy and goes, no, I'm talking about right now. You do it. I don't think we can, you ladies or us kids, when we pray for something, I don't think we can wait 40 years for an answer. I don't even know if we can wait for a week. The tendency is we give up. But this lady faithfully prayed for her husband. And as he was about to pass on to the next life, this hardcore man's man, the macho man, the man who would not go to church, the man who says, I could stand on his own, I am it, I am a self-made man, he broke down a couple of weeks later as his wife, was able to lead him to the Lord. 40 years later, God answered his prayer, her prayer. Similar to Zechariah. Zechariah and Elizabeth prayed for a child, and this child was, they don't know what was going on, but this angel came and says, in 9 months from now, you're going to have a baby. And the beauty about it, here's what the man said. Well, I can't understand it. Can't you see how old I am? How old she is? And he was putting up all of these excuses. And the bottom line is that the angel says, no, God has heard your prayer and he will deliver. And he delivered. You remember that? The story that I told you about 2 weeks ago? He made the impossible through prayer made possible. I'm going to ask you guys, what are some of the hardships that, and we've been talking about family. Family is very important to me. Family is being killed left and right. Divorce rates are higher, if not in the church and outside the church. They are equivalent to what the world is at right now. What is your prayer request for your family? Similar to Zacharias and Elizabeth, they prayed for a boy name, and I don't even know until they said his name was John. Second week later, I want to jump into second week. Second week, we talked about Mary and Joseph. And when we talked about Mary and Joseph, I told you about this young couple. And this young couple, when they were having their marriage, what happened? The Holy Spirit came upon her. And what happened? She was with child. And if you look in the book of Matthew, it says this, that Joseph, being a kind person, he actually wanted to, divorce her quietly. Because why was that? It's because it knew that it would ruin both of their reputation. But you see the story unfolding, and this is beautiful. What does Mary do? The angel tells Mary, you will be with child, and this child is a special child. You guys know the story. That child is Jesus, reincarnate from the spirit into a human being, come into flesh, into this world. That's why the name Emmanuel. Do you guys know what Emmanuel means? God is with us. And so God used Mary and Joseph that could ruin their reputation. And what does Mary's response? And I want you to understand this. This is probably very difficult for us. If it would ruin our reputation, if it would ruin our name, and then going back to what I was talking about, Peter and the 153 fish, and the Lord comes up to you and says, hey, do you love me more than your reputation? And so what does Mary do? And I love the response. I'm going to turn to this scripture passage. in Luke chapter 1. Here's verse 38. I just want you to listen to it. Here's his, her response. I am the Lord's servant. Wow, cha-ching moment for a young teenager, not old. This girl was not like, oh man, she must have been in the 26 or something because she was ready. No, she was a teenager and her response was, I am the Lord's servant. And here's the beautiful part. In that same, Mary answered and says, may it be to me as you have said. So here, Mary willingly, even though, and then, you know, last week I told you about Nazareth, right? Nazareth being in part of Galilee, and Galilee being one of the worst areas, and the way I was trying to describe it, and I'm sorry, this is the correlation I can make between that, and it's like being in the south side of Chicago and during the 70s where there was shooting, guns, drugs, gangs, and everything. Everything was bad. And in that area, you have Galilee. And in Galilee, there's this little town called Nazareth. And Nazareth, of all of that city in that county, was the worst of the city. And so I told you that the story unfolded that can anything good come out of Nazareth? And so what happens? Something good did happen. A young girl brought Jesus out into this world. She did it by saying, I want you to understand this. And this is where I'm asking you as a body. He says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be what? To me, as you have said. Has God asked you to do something in this place? Or are you still struggling and says, no, Lord, wait a minute, man. I don't know. You know, I have a lot of stuff here. Very important to me. My career, my family, my cars, what my friends, my relationship, all of these are very important to me. So when God was asking Mary, wait a minute, Mary, yeah, you know what? You guys are just starting out your family. And her response was, may it be to you. May it be to me as you have said. Now, that was a long introduction. And now I'm going to really squish it to why that was so important. I don't know if you guys ever, if anybody has ever come to you and said, thank you for being here because you've influenced my life for the better. Has anybody ever come up and said that to you? You are so special to me because you, and I'm going to just go, let's say, more a little bit more Christian. You led me to away from hell and you led me to the Lord in a place called heaven, and now I am here because of you. I don't know if anybody's ever said that to you. I don't know if anybody's come up and say, even without Christianity, hey, you know what? Thank you for helping me. You guys are always there for me. The story about that guy, this woman, I'm not sure if it's a woman or a man, you can correct me, Pastor Ed, but if you remember, she was pounding. Or the person was pounding at the door, and on the door, they were pounding and pounding, and they were asking, do you guys have any food? And the guy goes, I have no food. Get away from here. But she keeps pounding and pounding. I have some friends. And then finally, what happened? She opens the door and gives them the food. Now, hopefully, we don't have to have people pounding at our door. As a believers, hopefully the door will be open because you know your heart is there. And it would be simple or easy because your heart is there. So I want to kind of talk about the Zechariah. 5 minutes. I'm going to tell you, it'll be done. 5 minutes. Zechariah and John. because their Zechariah and Elizabeth prayed, they brought in a guy named John. And here's what I just want to share, what he did. In verse 17 of Luke 1. In fact, you know what? I'm going to just go a little bit and then I'm going to highlight one part. He said there, he will be, verse 14, he will be a joy and a delight to you. Many will rejoice because at his birth. I got to be honest, man. If I had a kid like that and the Lord came up to me and said, man, your kid is going to rock. Everybody's going to be very happy with your kid. Everyone will love your kid. Your kid will be the sweetest kid. Now, parents, if we really think about it, I don't know if that's, sorry. But I don't know if we are, you know, if we could say that. But here, John is already told, no, Zechariah and Elizabeth was being told what kind of kid they're going to have. But in addition to it, he goes, and there's some restriction, but I'm going to go verse 16. Many of the people of Israel will bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn their hearts of their fathers to their children and disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I want to emphasize one thing. And we've been talking about family. Here's the one. In verse 17, he says, this guy, John, will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. Ah, man, I got to be honest with you. I really love that. Did you hear that? John was born. If it weren't Zacharias and Elizabeth praying, John would not have been born, but he's born because of them too. And because of John, he is now manifesting something great. That greatness that he is taking his father and their children, and they're turning them towards each other. Why is that so important? I'm going to tell you right now, what's the important part there is the teaching lesson of knowing that he was able to build families. He was a catalyst of bringing families together. I don't know where you guys are at. I don't know what your families are. I don't know where you or your children are at. But the most important part there is through this Zacharias, John was used. And then he, one of the point of John, what God has used him to is to try to bring fathers and their children together. I'm going to be honest with you, that's not happening. Even in our churches today, fathers are not taking the responsibility of leading. Today, I want you to hear this. Today we're going to have a dedication. Today is not just about dedicating Chris, but actually re-engaging the men here and seeing what their responsibilities are before God. Not just to sit there and go, wow, Chris, cool, man. Or Donald, great. Or Emily, wow. Lara, thank you. That's so cool. And now let's have a party. Let's forget what happened. Actually, this is one of the most important. Even God himself was done in the same manner. Look at what he does in chapter 1, verse 76 to 79. I want you to hear the great manifestation. And I'm gonna close this off because here's where I want to go. Mary was born. And I don't ever want to diminish this role because of the time. Mary brought Jesus into this world. And because of him, that's the reason why we're here today. It is. I don't know what else we're here. Because if we're not here for him, this is just another fellowship club. But we're here because of Christ. Because of what he has done. Look at what he says. And here's Zechariah saying to his son, John. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sin, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the paths of peace. A couple things. Number one, John was brought into this place as the gateway of ushering salvation. You know who salvation is, right? His name is Jesus. John was the forerunner to prepare Jesus' coming. And Jesus is that salvation. And what does he bring? He brings darkness, people who live in the darkness, and gives them what? The light. And what does he go? He goes, there's wars, and then he provides them what? Peace. Today, I ask you. You know, I need to ask this question. And the question goes like this. Do you feel like sometimes, what kind of impact have I made to this world? I'm just this small, no knowledge. In fact, I don't even know the Bible. I have a hard time with the these and the thous. And I even have a hard time, it makes me fall asleep. Right, Ma? I'm just kidding with my wife. It makes you even fall asleep. That's why she wants the one that actually has the... She. Last night we were spending so much time trying to download the Bible that has the voice, because she wants the voice plus reading. And I think she wants somebody to sign for her, if she could do that to keep her awake. That was a joke. Okay. But the point here is, I was asking her, she was asking us to do all of the avenues to try to get more into the Bible. I'm going to ask you, men. I have been encouraged, and I'm going to just call out my brother John Alvaran. He's been the catalyst of doing this. But I just want to encourage you. Read through the Bible. And I'm going to challenge you, the men, to read through the Bible with me. And every week, I'm going to encourage you to meet with me. To meet just to see, what does the Bible really mean? See, because there's a story, and there's the story of our preacher this past Saturday. And I want to just say this. He said there was this young woman, 19 years old, and as she was trying to figure out, God, how can you use me? Because I just don't know what to do. Have we ever been in that situation where we don't know? We think like, oh, we really got to be a theologian, or we got to have the Bible knowledge, or I got to be at least 5 years into somebody's feet before I can come out. But this young woman, 19 years old, decided to have a Bible study. And the Bible study was very simple. All they did was read the Bible. And in that reading of the Bible, they got to learn what the Bible was about. And the beauty about it is that lady who she led came to know Jesus. And in that time she was teaching, she actually started to introduce it to her family. And little by little, that lady's family, they came to know Jesus. But there was this one man, many, many years took. But because of those families, little by little, they started to touch everyone, coming to know him. And the preacher that spoke, and I'm telling you, he was so eloquent, gifted. That man was transformed and came to know Jesus. Do you think that 19-year-old girl thought of the influences that he may have on this man's life? And he said one day, and here's what he said. One day, when they get to heaven, He's going to look her up. He's going to check her out in the names, and he's going to run a million miles away from where she's at, and she's going to say this to her. Thank you. Thank you for starting that Bible study that touched my sister's life, that touched my family's life, that touched my life. And today, I come before you, used by God. I'm asking you as a body to think that way. That sometimes we think, how can I possibly be used by God? And it starts with a simple opening of the Bible and reading it through and asking God, God, can we meet? Can we meet? Can you talk to me? Can you tell me your great secrets, your joys, and even the hardship, Father, how it was dealt with, Lord? And so we have this book club. This book club, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it, but this book club is not about the way it was written in the chapters in the books, but it is actually a book. And you read it. And you share with one another what God has taught you. I want to encourage you. That lady, what was her name again, Pastor Ed? The lady who died?
Carol.
Yeah. I know that we were text. I've seen the emails. And let me close with this. You know, I'm probably thinking in my mind, and this is a guess, that she didn't think about leaving. Not at this early stage. But I guarantee you that the influences that they have had in the lives of others, God already said, welcome, I got to take you home. You've done enough. It's okay. And I want to encourage you. It's not about numbers. It's actually impacting the world for Jesus one at a time. So I'm going to ask, as we come up here, as I bring the music team, they're going to sing a song. It's called I Give You My Heart. And I don't know where's Rebecca. Okay. I Give You My Heart. As you listen to the words, may it be a challenge to you to walk with Him. Let's all stand as we sing. I'm going to ask everybody to come forward. I mean, I want to see if we could come forward up here. I know that there's another activity afterwards, but I would really love to have everybody possibly up here as we prepare and sing this song to the Lord. Oh,
that's a question that has to be asked, and it will always be asked. 24/7, 365. Every day, God will ask you. And I hope if He's prompting you right now, if you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, today you can know. There is no secret. The Word of God has made that. It is here. He knows. You can know without a doubt, with certainty, that you can come to know Him as your Lord and Savior. Why don't we close by prayer. Father, Lord, we thank You for the Word. Your Word makes it so clear for us that, Lord, in the midst of all of this, You are in partnership with people. Zacharias, Elizabeth, Joseph and Mary. And by those byproducts, Father, we saw wonderful things, wondrous things, Father. A John, Jesus who, Father, came into this world, provided that bridge, Lord, for us, that was once torn away, and we knew we were helpless, Father, before the Father. There was nothing good in us, Father, that could possibly attain salvation. But Lord, You sent Your Son, who paid the sacrifice for us. And that death on the cross, Father, that had forgiven us our sins. Father, all we have to do is to trust and believe You as our Lord and Savior. And so, Father, I pray that if it's in this group, Father, there is anyone that doesn't know You. Lord, today, Father, it can be done. Lord, thank You. We just ask, Father, that You would continue to reveal Yourself to those people. Father, the other group, people who've been a Christian such a long time. Today, Lord, it is about them coming before You and feeling inadequate. Sometimes they feel like, Lord, do I really need to know all the Bible and everything about it? And Father, the answer is absolutely no. No, Father, all you need is to trust the Holy Spirit that You read the Word of God. Father, I pray that You would give them the strength, the confidence to do this. Father, it is only us that's preventing from that from happening. Will You give us the boldness? We ask this in Your power, in Your wonderful, precious power name of Jesus, our Holy Spirit, our Savior, Jesus' name. You may be seated. I'm going to ask, we're just going to transition into the child dedication, a very important part. I think we've done this twice, right? And so I'm going to ask the family of Emily, Donald, Chris, I'm going to ask Pastor Ed to come up here as Lara, as well as the Ninong and Ninangs, which is Len and Vic. Let's do this. We're glad that you could be here to witness this. This is a part of our church that we believe strongly about. Emily and Donald, as we trust that the step of faith you're taking today will make Chris, our young man here, very proud. Children are a gift from God. In Psalm 127, verse 3, it says this, "Sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children, a reward from Him." As believers, we are called to recognize that children first belongs to God and foremost. God, in His goodness, has given these gifts, we talked about it, to the parents. They have not only had this awesome responsibility of caring for this gift,
but also the wonderful privilege of enjoying it. Because children belong to God and are given by grace as gifts to parents, it is only proper and appropriate that the children be dedicated back to God. The scriptural root for this, or the beginning, was in 1 Samuel when Hannah prayed to God and was asking for a child. And when the child was brought and had been given to God, to Hannah, here's what her response was to God. I pray for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord, for his whole life will be given over to the Lord. In the book of Luke, chapter 2, we see that same principle from the Old Testament completed in the New Testament by Christ himself. Christ saw the importance. Mary and Joseph brought Christ in a similar fashion. In the same way, Emily, Donald, I'm going to get you closer over here. I call your attention to the commandments of God recorded in Deuteronomy, and I want you to hear this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be upon your heart. And I want you to hear this, parents, not only for them as a challenge, but it's also a reminder to you. Impress them on their children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Emily and Donald, love God with every ounce of your fiber, of your energy. And teach this young man, Chris, to do the same as you love God, one another. And Lara, model before God, before your brother, Chris, that same wonderful love that God has and will want for himself. Emily and Donald, by coming forward, God and his people do hereby declare you desire to dedicate your son, Chris, to the Lord. If so, please by response by saying, we do. Okay. Sorry, I'm going to have to put a microphone here. So, modeling this kind of love cannot be done alone. It requires the help of others. For this reason, Emily and Donald call upon the help of God, parents. I now direct my question to you by coming forward before God and his people. Do you hereby declare your desire to help parents fulfill the vow that they have just made by becoming Chris's godparents? If so, please respond by saying we do. Having come freely, I ask that you enter into the following commitment so that Chris may walk in abundant life with Christ's offer. Do you vow God's help to encourage through praise and correction Emily and Donald, and in their effort to raise Chris in the fear of the Lord, to uphold them in prayer, and if anything should happen to Emily and Donald, to assume the responsibility in helping Chris receive our Lord's guidance and instruction? Say we do.
We do.
Finally, I ask the church, and I want you guys to actually stand. So I asked the body, now I'm going to ask the body. Finally, I ask the church, to make the vow as well. There's an old proverb that says, it takes a village to raise a child. Parents have first responsibilities, but parents need the help and support of the community. So I direct my question now to the church. By being present in God's house today, do you hereby declare yourself to be the children of God
because you trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of sin and the gift of eternal life. If this is true, please respond by saying, "We do." Would you please, having come freely, I ask now that you make the following commitment to those who stand before you, so that Chris, the young man that he is here, may walk in the abundant life of Christ's offer. Do you vow by God's help to be faithful in your calling as members of the body of Christ to help Emily and Donald be faithful to God and to help teach the trained Chris in the ways of the Lord so that he may one day trust him as Savior and Lord? If he's already accepted Jesus, if you accept this responsibility, please respond by saying, "We do." I'm going to ask that the Father come alongside of you here. And then I'm going to ask Pastor Ed to come before us and pray for our Father and for Chris and the family.
Yes, Lord. Father, we come before you as we lift up to you, first and foremost, the parents, especially Brother Don, the father of Chris. Into your hands, O God, we commit his life, Lord. That as he instructs Chris, Lord God, in the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to guide him, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that he would be able to be equipped from your Spirit, Lord God, through the word that you have left before us. The knowledge of your Son, Jesus, in Chris. That as he grows old, Lord God, as he becomes an adult, O Lord God, that he would also, Lord, continue to serve you as his parents served you, O God. Father, we pray for Chris, Lord God, that you, Lord, mold him according to your will and purpose. And use this family, Lord God, as an instrument in their sphere of influence, Lord God, to share the good news, to share the word, that those people that they influence in their lives, Lord God, their friends, their families, their relatives, Lord God, and their neighbors, also know you, that they may also share, O Lord God, in the eternal glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you so much for the life of this family. In Jesus' name,
amen. You may be seated. I've asked the team to come and sing our final song. Why don't we continue to stand up as we sing?
Clap our hands.
happy? Testing 1, 2, 3. So before we go to the party, I'm going to ask you if you could just sit down. Appreciate it. And then one other thing is some quick announcements. This is something that we have to do. So I'm going to ask first Sister Leia just to quickly announce something.
I'd like to introduce to you our, as Word International Ministries, our youth ministries holding a youth camp in Los Angeles, California. So let's take a look at the video real quick.
These are the days for the everybody who wonder in the mystery, unmoved in the unknown. Still we cast our nets. We're not alone, for the few are joined by the many, and the many move by one.
So this year we will have our national youth camp. It's called Soul Anchor. We usually do regional youth camps, but this year we will be holding a national youth camp. And I invite every young people and youth out there to join us in this four-day youth camp in LA, Los Angeles, California. It's going to be $195 camp fee for every camper. So I encourage parents to help us save some money. It's going to be held in July 7th to 10th. So we have 7 months to save. So that's all.
Yeah, actually, we're encouraging the families to save money now. Actually, yes?
We can set up... Yeah.
Okay. Actually, $195 is just the entry fee.
Yes.
The traveling fee is there's another fee.
Yes.
So we haven't given you the details of it yet. But what's important here, a couple things. I actually would have liked to have that power, not one of those. You know how you go into the movies and they check the surround sound? I felt like the surround sound was there. So two things. Thank you. And she's prepared a real detailed of how financially we could get there. Number two, I'm asking people, we actually have books. And John Alboran and I, can I just get you to stand up, John? I know that's putting him on the spot. But he's the guy who's actually helped me to start working towards this. All it is a book club. So, sounds weird because I know guys right now in their mind, ooh, a book club. Okay, if it was a football club, then I'd be in there. Or what did they call that? See, I don't even know those games. The fantasy football. Point with this. I want to encourage the men. I'm going to ask the men. In fact, I've chosen some and see if you guys are interested in doing it. We read. No agenda. You got 5 questions. And the 5 questions are very light. And all it is you read 10 pages every day. I don't care how you do it. You can put it on the radio. Listen to it. Put it in your MP3. I don't know if that's old technology, but you can put it in your phone, iPhone. In fact, I think you can bring it into a tablet as big as this. This one. This is my phone. You can put it on there, you can listen to it, and read. And here's all you have to do. Here's the beauty. No questions except what have you learned? What are some of the compelling things that you learned? What are some of the questions that you have about it? We meet, share, see what God can do. And here's the beauty. I want you to know, it's only 8 weeks. So there is a beginning and there is an end. It's not like forever until we finish. No, there is a beginning and an end. So I'm encouraging you. I'm already actually encouraged the young people to try to start doing this. So I want to encourage you as well. Leadership planning. I actually want to do this on Monday since I'm off from work. And I want to just try to get the ball rolling. Leadership appointment. This is something we need to talk about as well. And I want to use this word properly so every one of you listen, please, that part of the church, called resource management. I'm going to use an HR term, resource management. I know how difficult it has been for certain people who have been doing church and who have been participating in ministries almost for the last 5 years. And I can tell you, they're burnt out. And the bottom line, resource management means if we have a bunch of resources who can help us to do the job, it'll make things lighter and easier. I don't know how long we'll be here in this place, and that's my fear. So I want you to do two things to eliminate my fear. Let's pray. Let's pray that God would give us another place. This is our temporary place. Let's find another place where God can use us and where we could be a use to the community. That is the most important to me. Number two, I covet your prayers. I do. I need you to pray with me. Because I got to be honest, there are times I don't even have one day to the other day. I just need somehow, some way, God to help me kind of prioritize what's important. And I got to be honest, one of the things that was a challenge, he asked, do you love me more than these? And I'm asking God to clearly tell me what I need to shed off in my own personal life to make that happen. I want to encourage you guys to pray along with me as we start doing and embark on this journey. I'm going to close us in a word of prayer as we finish the service off. And then before we start, there's actually a video clip that is going on that's created by one of the best iHeart producers in Wynn, on top of JC. So they both partner each other. But this production I heard was many hours, so please give it your full attention. Even the kids over here who's on their iPads and iPhones, yes. The reason I'm going to make you guys look at this is because somebody made an effort to make this happen, and it's one of your teammates. So I want you guys to look at this. In fact, if you guys can move over here, let's get over here first. Let's just move over here so you can see what this particular video is all about. So are you guys ready? John? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer and then the video clip. And I'm going to pray for the food. Okay, so Emily, after the video, this place is yours. Father, Lord, we just thank you and praise you for being here today. We thank you for your blessing. Thank you for the friends that have been here today. And Father, I pray that as a group here as a church, may we make them welcome, make them feel welcome with the love of the Lord. Lord, we thank you for the food that you're about to nourish our bodies with. Lord, we thank you for Chris and what you're going to do to his life. Father, we have just been challenged today to come along with him and partner with him and see and be part of his spiritual growth. May you help us. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name, amen. Video.
Pahalin mo yung ano. Pahalin mo camera at pahalin mo.
Saan? Ito? Ano nga ano ba yung picture ato?
Si ate naman ang kahawakin ni ate.
I can eat you guys later. No, Emily says you could go ahead and stand up. And here's the birthday boy. So if you want to greet him, but everybody can just stand up. How do you want him to eat? Line up that way on the right. Okay, so she's pointing on the right at the table. And that's where the plates are. And then the food just goes around, right? Okay, so why don't we all just stand and go ahead. I've already prayed for the food.